We have had an incredible last few weeks. I want to just take some time this morning and think about how God has really, really blessed us, but what he has been teaching us as well this last few weeks. One of the big things that God has been showing us, I think over and over and again, is that the more that we step out in faith, the more he's ready to come alongside us. The more that we take these risky steps, maybe you'd say, or pray big prayers, the more God is just waiting to just answer those prayers and do incredible things back. And I think one of the big things that God wants to teach us this morning is not only can we trust him, but we can trust him as we take these steps, these faith steps. I mean, I was thinking about this week. I thought to myself, who knew that whenever you would take a week of holidays and go to Latvia and waste all of that money to go on a missions trip, that God would totally change your life? Because it makes no earthly sense. It just makes no earthly sense whatsoever. But in the kingdom, it makes perfect sense. Because as we dedicate a week of our lives to God, you're going to come back changed. This morning, our tribe room is full because a lot of our teenagers went to Latvia and came home on fire. Was that money worth it? Absolutely worth it. And so this morning, God wants to show us that the more that we step out and trust him with the things that he says, the more he's going to honor us. Here's a simple thing, and it's kind of the funny thing about it, is that over and over and over again in the Bible, God tells us the right things to do. But over and over and over again, we don't do them. It's just the way we are, because we have this independent streak, we have this independent nature, or maybe we think this, or maybe we think that. But God wants to encourage us this morning. The more that we dedicate our lives to him and we go his ways instead of our own ways, the more that we learn what the culture of heaven is and start to live that way, the more God just keeps pouring in more and more and more blessing in their lives. Let's think about this. Who knew that if you took a few days off to help at Armagh, I Heart Armagh, if you take a few evenings off, that it would just radically change you on the inside. It would just fire you up on the inside. We would never think that because it doesn't make any sense. Why would you go to people of Armagh? There's loads of people there. Why would we bother doing that? But God says, if you honor me, honor my ways, then I'll honor your ways. If you step out in faith for me and go for me, it's incredible what he will do in return. This last few weeks, we've been gathering together on Wednesday nights and we've been praying. And it's amazing, again, who knew that if you come together and you pray and you ask God for great things, that he actually wants to bless you in return. And we have seen this last few weeks in our prayer times, the presence of God is just getting stronger and stronger. He's just blowing our minds with the things that he's revealing to us. He's just gathering people in. There was one of the girls was there this week, hadn't been to a prayer time in a year and a half. And God just blew her away. He's just blowing her away. And I know it's easier just to stay at home, or it's easier just to go and do something else or do this or do that. It's the same with the mission trips. Easier to go on holiday. Seems to make more sense. Go and be refreshed. Go and get good energy built up. But there's something special when the children of God follow after the things of God, then God blesses us in return. It makes no earthly sense, and this is why it tricks us. This is why it fools us. It makes no earthly sense to give your money away on a Sunday. Why does that make any sense whatsoever? I need all the money I can get. And maybe you're stuck in that dilemma, do I give it, do I not? And God says, if you honor me, I'll honor you. When we live a kingdom way, God blesses us in kingdom ways. And this morning, I think God just wants to remind us of simple truth. This last couple of weeks we've been chatting, lots of us have been chatting together, and we're saying, hey, how do we never be the same again? How do we just keep going forward instead of going back into our defaults? And you know what the Holy Spirit said? Change your culture, change your life. Change the way you think. Change the cultural environment that you're in. Our country is full of culture. We hear about it all the time. I'm not going into that at all. Not interested in that at all. What I'm going into is kingdom culture. What I want to talk about is Jesus culture. The culture that says we can believe for anything. The culture that says that he'll supply all of our needs. The culture that says bring whatever needs you need to the king, and he will heal them and he will set them free. I mean, we just read over and over and over again in the New Testament. There's even a time at the end of Matthew 14 where Jesus is just busy, but people bring the sick to him anyway, and he heals them all. Because it's just something about when we get close to Jesus and we live in that kingdom culture, everything changes about us. And this morning, I want to take some time to think about our culture and how that's going to radically change our lives. Because Jesus could just come and just be an incredible guy and just show us incredible things. But if he didn't change the culture, then we go back the ways we were before whenever he died and moved on. But instead, after 3 years, Jesus was confident enough to say, if I go, I know this thing's going to continue on because there's one coming just like me. He's going to enable you and empower you. But biggest of all, what Jesus left with us was a culture that says, you're not of this world. You're just passing through. You don't have to live the ways you used to live. You don't have to go through the same things the way you did before. You can go through them differently today because you have the power of the Holy Spirit. And so this morning, I want to shake our faith. I want to shake the way that we think. I want to shake the ways that we've been going this last while. I want to think about maybe the customs that we've had, the things that we used to say, just the places we used to go, the life we used to live, because all of those form our culture, and whatever culture you live in will dictate the actions that you take and the steps that you take, the words that you say, the places that you go. All of that will dictate that. But what we've seen over this last few weeks is we've stepped into a kingdom culture that says it's better to give than receive. It's better just to take time off, not thinking of yourself and just blessing those beneath you. Wow, look how God has blessed us. Look how God has radically transformed our lives. And I want to encourage us this morning that the more that we take our eyes off ourselves, the more we put it on others, the more we go after Jesus, the more he is going to bless us in return. And so that's what the Lord wants to encourage us with today. As we step out, it's incredible what God will do in return. Our ideas, our customs, our social behaviors, our way of life will change. And if that changes, then suddenly all our ideas have to change. Maybe before you didn't think that sounded like a good idea to go to a prayer time. Maybe you didn't think before that it sounded like a good idea to give to God. But maybe after today, once we see what the Lord is calling us into, we'll be like, that's the only way to live. That's the only way to be. Maybe it didn't make any sense to, at the end of the day when you're tired, to pray to God and to finish your day with prayer. But by the end of today, maybe we'll see that God captures our hearts and we'll be like, I just want to pray all the way through the day. I just want to spend as much time as I can with the Lord, because I recognize the more time I spend with him, the more I become like him. And as we said already this morning, the biggest thing that God has done in our lives is that he has changed our identity, which is essentially our culture. But one of the biggest frustrations and one of the biggest, I guess, annoyances that we have in our lives is that we get saved and then it almost feels like we default back to the old ways, and then we get frustrated why God's not working in our lives and why he's not doing this and why he's not doing that. But this morning, God wants to encourage us as he has changed our identity, he has changed our position, he has changed our purpose. And so therefore, we step into new roles, we think different ways, we act different ways, we go to different things, we do things that we never did before, because God has called us to new ways and new directions. And as we do that, suddenly everything becomes alive and suddenly everything starts to make sense. And so this morning, that's what we're going to think about, and that's what we're going to ask the Lord to reveal to us. More of his culture, more of who we are in his hands, more of what he's called us to do, that our habits would change, that the things that we do would change, that even the music that we listen to would change. All those practical, simple things would change, because as we get in that kingdom culture, then everything becomes important. Because here's what we recognize, that even something simple as what you read is going into our hearts. Even something simple as what we listen to is going into our hearts. Even something simple as the people that are around us is really important. Not that everything or anything's necessarily bad, but all of that is really important, because it dictates into our culture and how we live and how we be. And determine of the people that we're around and the things that we do and the things that we listen to and the areas that we go to will determine the steps that we take. Because we see it over and over and over again in the New Testament. The people that stayed closest to Jesus did things just like Jesus. The people that stayed closest to Paul did things just like Paul. The people that stayed closest to David killed giants just like David did. And it's exactly the same today. It hasn't changed in hundreds and thousands of years. So the closer that we can stay to the culture of heaven, the more heaven's going to move through our lives. The more we're going to believe for the impossible. The more we're going to see signs and wonders and miracles flow through our lives. The more we're going to realize that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And it is the joy that sustains us as we go forward. And so I want to read some verses this morning from Matthew chapter 14. And it's the story of Peter and Jesus. And they're both walking on water. Do you remember that story? An incredible story. And so we're going to read it together. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. We're going to read it down to verse 33. Here we go. It says, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. Speaking of Jesus. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the water. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, it's a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. Verse 28, when Peter answered them, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." Then Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took him out, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when he got into the boat, the wind ceased. And then finally, those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." An incredible series of verses right after each other comes right after the story of feeding the 5,000. At the end of the day, Jesus says, "Look, I want to go and spend time with my dad. You guys get on the boat and cross to the other side. I'll meet you later." And that's all this is said. And now in the middle of the night, storm rages. They're stuck in the boat. They've been rowing for hours. They don't know what's going on. And suddenly they see this ghost walking towards them who happens to be Jesus. And by the end of it, you've got two men walking on the water. An incredible story. An incredible story of God's power, of the things that Jesus can do, how nothing is above him, how everything's below him, how he's the master of the wind, how he controls the environment, how he can speak and suddenly everything can change. And if we want to, we can join him out there too. And so God this morning, I believe, wants to just change something in our hearts and remind us that he is able to do far more than we can ever anticipate or expect. That he is inviting us on a journey of adventure with him that will not be boring, that will not be kind of like, "Oh, I don't know why I'm doing this," that will not be like, "Oh, I wish I'd never picked this." It will be a journey of adventure like you never believed. And I believe more and more, this is what God is calling us to, that Christians would rise up and actually step into their identity, that us as Christians this morning would rise up and step into the things that God has called us to, that we wouldn't hold back, that we wouldn't just sit at home and drink tea, nothing wrong with sitting at home and drink tea, but that we'd be ready to go whenever we need to go, because God has called us to a life of adventure. And the most fulfillment and the most peace and the most joy and the most love is out there. Not just in here, or not just at home, or not on our sofas, or not in the comfort zone, but out there. And that's what God's called us to. And so this is the story that we're going to look at this morning. But this is a story that has much more than meets the eye. It has much more than meets the eye. And there's many different things that God wants to show us from the story this morning. And hopefully we're going to see some of it, and hopefully some of it's going to stick in our hearts. First point that I want us to think about, isn't it amazing when we think about this story, that usually the first thing, unless you're completely different to me, but usually the first thing that I think about is that Peter sank, is that Peter didn't quite make it. Anybody think that when they think about this story? Is a lot of the times that's our first reaction. A lot of the times that's going on in there. And yet, better than that, Jesus walked on water, and so did Peter too. This story is all about Jesus, and yet sometimes we make it all about Peter. And the ironic thing about it is that Peter sunk because he took his eyes off Jesus, and maybe we're sinking in our lives because we've taken our eyes off Jesus and we're focusing on what didn't happen or what could have happened or the negative instead of looking at what Jesus did and what could we not do if we followed after him. And so this morning, right from the beginning, the first question to ask ourselves is, what are we looking to? Who are we looking to? Who is our gaze on? Who is our gaze on? Because if our gaze is on Jesus, there's no limits to the things he's going to call us to do. We're going to partner with him. We're going to walk with him. If our eyes are anywhere else, it's no good. It's just no good. Our eyes need to be on him because he is greater and he is incredible. And he is the one that's calling us to greater things. And it's going to fulfill us and put the purpose and the plans and the destiny in our lives and enable us to step into them. So number one, when we think about the story, are we more focused on Peter or are we more focused on Jesus? Hopefully by the end of today, we're going to be more focused on Jesus because he's incredible. Second thing is this. Peter did and said and continued to do outrageous things. Anybody like Peter? He always did crazy things. He always did crazy things. He would say the wrong things. He would do the wrong things. He would cut off people's ears. He would just say the wrong things. He would get in the way. He was always there. He was always right at the front. He was always saying these things. And yet, by the end of it, Peter is the one that Jesus chooses to give one of the most incredible sermons in Acts chapter 2 as the Holy Spirit comes. Because there was just something about Peter where he just had this outrageous kind of ask inside him. He had this outrageous faith inside him. He had this boldness that was oozing from him. And where did it come from? It came from God himself. Because God says this morning, come boldly to me. Come boldly before me. Come with that outrageous faith and ask things that you don't even think are possible. And watch what I can do. And so I want us to think about Peter and what he did and how he asked an outrageous question. It says he walked on water. And this is the thing that we've got to remember about Peter. He actually walked on water. There is no other person outside Jesus that did this. But Peter did because of his outrageous faith, because of the outrageous questions that he asked, because of his focus on Jesus. Of course he sank, but he also got to walk. He also got to move forward. His life was never the same again. And this morning God says, which one are we on the boat? We need to be more like Peter, the one who's ready to follow, the one who's ready to ask, the one who's ready to believe incredible things. It says this in verse 26, but when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, it is a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. And then Peter answered and said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on water to Jesus. That is incredible. He walked on water. What are the impossible things that we need to do? I mean, we have just seen God bless us above and beyond over and over and over again. We never thought in our wildest dreams that we would see 100 kids come every day, over 100 kids come every day to our kids' club Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. That was incredible. Absolutely incredible. Where did it begin? By asking an outrageous request from God. God, would it be possible that we could go into multiple different estates in Armagh? Could we go for year after year and after a few years then dare to dream that we could invite them to come to us? Could we go and hire two or three buses and dare to drive into their estate and put up a notice the week before and say there'll be a bus stop here? Could we dare to dream that we would send them out every morning, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and anticipate the kids would get in that bus and they would come back the next day and the next day? And we did, and it happened because we dared to believe in an incredible God. We used our outrageous faith. We asked an outrageous question to God, and he answered it above and beyond. We never dared to dream that that could happen in that shape or form. And yet God says, what is that to me? It is absolutely nothing. But it was big to us, and we put our faith in a big God, and God was able to do that. And so this morning, God says the same principles apply. As we would step out in our lives, as we would move forward day to day, what are the big things that we need to ask? What are the big things that we need to ask God to do and anticipate God to do and expect God to do? But to bring some context this morning in the story, because we've read this story so many times that we can become complacent and think, well, it's no big deal anymore. I want you to think about this. They were in the midst of a storm. The Sea of Galilee was one of these seas that storms came really quickly out of the blue. Just happened. Just the way it was. Just the amount of land that was around it, the size of it, the hot air pressure. Storms would just come all of a sudden. And these guys got on a boat. Just remember this. The day before, after they've seen the greatest miracle they've ever seen, and now suddenly they're in the midst of a storm. But they're not just in a storm just after 30 minutes. They've been rowing for hours. Because it says that they left shore the day before, and now they're in the fourth watch of the night, which says they're either between 3 o'clock in the morning and 6 o'clock in the morning. So they're somewhere in there. Which means they've been rowing for at least 3 to 4 hours minimum. And they're just trying to get from one side to the other side. It should not take this long. And they've been rowing and rowing and rowing. And if you've been doing that, then your energy's going down, your faith is going down, your fever's going down, your blessing's going down. The thoughts of the day before are a distant memory. And now you're probably just thinking, we just want to live. We just want to get out of this one alive. We just want to live and get away from the storm because we just don't know what's going to happen next. And all the while, the storm's hitting them, the waves are hitting them, the water's hitting them, and they're thinking, this is the worst nightmare we've probably ever been in. The day before is the best thing they've ever seen. A few hours later, then one of the worst things they've ever faced. Incredible how life can turn. And in that moment, reality comes back with a big bite. Anybody been in that? Where you've just seen God do something amazing. You've just had the most amazing week. Maybe I heard about an amazing week for you. And you go back to work this week and it was like, whoa, this was a tough week. A lot of things came against me. Just had an amazing meeting and vibe or something amazing happened, amazing prayer time. And then the next day it's like your whole world falls apart because something comes back to bite us and it comes back with a vengeance. And of course, God knows this and Jesus knows this, but he's trying to teach the disciples something that they'll never be the same again with. It says that a storm comes. They don't know what to do. They're just fighting for their lives. And then suddenly off in the distance, they see a man. Now, this is the most surreal thing I would suggest any one of us could ever see. And I'm sure it was the most surreal thing they have ever seen. They're battling the winds and the wave. They're just trying to survive. They're tired. They're hungry. They just want to get to the other side. And now they look out, and it looks like there's somebody walking across the sea. This is crazy, absolutely crazy. You could understand completely that they thought it was a ghost because they must have thought they were delusional, that a man would be walking across the water and not just a calm sea, but walking through the storms. This is incredible. This is unbelievable. What on earth is Jesus trying to teach them? Is it about Jesus showing off his power? I don't think so. Is it about Jesus just showing that he can do what he wants, but nobody else can? I don't think so. I think Jesus is trying to show them something greater. He's trying to show them that he's even above the wind and the waves. That if you follow me, you can be just like me. Remember what he says at the end of his life? I'm going away, but there's one coming just like me. You're going to do the same things as me and greater. He's trying to show the disciples a different way of life. He's trying to show the disciples a different culture. He's trying to show them that even in the midst of a storm, when all is against you, you can have peace. He wants to show these disciples that no matter what it looks like on the outside, there's something different inside of you because the Holy Spirit lives in your life and the Holy Spirit lives in your heart. And God this morning wants to get our attention and say, what storms have you faced? What storms have you been through? What storms are you about to face? What storms are you going through? Don't worry, I faced many storms before and I was able to overcome them. So take heart, it is I. I am with you. And then in that moment, I don't know what Peter thought about. I don't know what he was thinking about. But my question would not be, Lord, cause me to walk in the water. It would be calm the storm. But something inside of Peter decides to scream out and go, Lord, if it's you, command me to come on the water. That is an incredible thing to think about. What on earth was Peter thinking about that in that moment he would say, Lord, if it's you, command me to come. He must have just fancied walking on water just like Jesus. That simple childlike faith, I'd love to have a go too. You ever been with your kids and you're doing something stupid and then they say, I'd like to have a go too. And you're like, no, we shouldn't really be doing this. But they just have this youthful enthusiasm, this innocence, and they just want to have a go too. Maybe you're climbing up too high and they're like, can I come too? You know, it's like our girls, we have the stepladder sometimes and they want to turn it into a throne. And so they're trying to climb right to the top of the stepladder. I'm like, girls, no, this is not a throne. Don't go on it. You're going to fall. There's just something inside of Peter, that childlike faith that God wants to place inside of all of us, that he looks at Jesus and he doesn't just see the storm. He doesn't worry anymore about death. He doesn't worry anymore about tiredness. Maybe he's just so tired he's delusional. And he comes out with the most outrageous question you've ever heard. Lord, if it's really you, let me walk in water too. I'd love to have a go at that. I'd love to have a go at that too. And this is exactly what God wants to put inside of our hearts this morning. I'd love to have a go at that too. I've heard about somebody who's just come back from Africa, for example. They saw loads of kids giving their hearts to Jesus. I'd love to have a go at that too. I wonder, could I do that? An outrageous request, an outrageous idea. And God says, I'd love to send you. I'd love you to go there because I know you'd never be the same again. Maybe you're like us. Maybe we got this building and then we looked across to the next building and we say, Lord, we'd love that one too. We just love that one as well. And God says, okay. Remember Jesus' response when Peter says, Lord, if it's really you, command me to come. What does Jesus say? Come. Let's go. It wasn't, just be careful. I don't think you've read the Bible enough. Don't think you've prayed enough today. Don't think you've said enough forgiveness today. No, he just said, come, let's go. Spirit of adventure. He's trying to teach the disciples something that they'll never be the same again because he knows his time is short and he knows the impact of his ministry has to be high because he knows he wants them to never be the same again. And over this last couple of weeks, whether it be Latvia, whether it be Jenny over in Greece, whether it be iHeart Armagh or whatever things you've been up to, God has been trying to get our attention. He's been trying to get it from day number one in terms of when we were born or whenever we came to an age of understanding. He's been trying to get our attention from then. And from that point, he's been trying to leave us never the same again. The problem is we keep going back to the old things. We keep going, well, I've probably had my run now. I've probably had a good run. I'd be safer settled now. You know, iHeart Armagh was good. I'll probably just have to go back to normal now for the next 51 weeks. And hopefully next year, if the boss gives me time off, then I can go good again. And God says, no, I'm with you every day. What's the secret? The Holy Spirit is with you. I've got to go, but there's one coming just like me. He's able to be with you each and every day. You can ask him outrageous questions. Do you know this? If you're unsure what the outrageous questions are, spend time with the Lord, read his word. You're going to just start jumping and your heart's going to start beating and you're going to start asking crazy things. Like, Lord, could we have that building? I know it's 175,000, but Lord, I'm going to believe. And God says, okay, let's go. And now we're in a phase of, we need more than 175,000. We need a lot of money. And God says, okay, let's go. Let's go. Here's the amazing thing that God has taught me personally over this last few weeks. The more that we go with him, the more confidence he gives us. Now we're ready to go like never before. Because the closer we are to Jesus, the more we become like him, the more our faith starts to stir like his faith, and suddenly we believe that even death can't hold us, that even the enemy can't triumph over us, that even sickness can't beat us, that we come up against it in Christ's name, and suddenly everything must fall, everything must go, because he's greater than all things. And what are the things that we need to start asking for? What are the things that we need to start praying for and believing for? Believing for your whole family to get saved. What an outrageous prayer like that. Believing for an outrageous prayer like, God, you're going to save all of Armagh. That we're going to see an end to slavery and all across the world. That we're going to see my workplace completely transformed. Lord, I've got this incredible burning desire. I want to start a prayer meeting in my workplace, and I'm going to believe that people's going to come to my work. Lord, I want to have faith to believe that I could do this or I could do that. I don't want to give you all the examples because I don't want to spoil it. I want God to just put something in your life that you couldn't even have thought of, that no one could have even dreamt of, and it'll shock you so much you'd be like, it has to be God, and I've got to go for it. You see, we can live like everybody else, which means we do the things like everybody else, or we can live differently the way God's called us to. People that go upstream. People that live differently, people that believe for incredible things. And why can we do that this morning? Because God is with us and God is for us. Nobody else walked on water, only Peter, because he had faith to believe, God, can I come? And Jesus said, yep, let's go. Let's go on the water together. And he walked on water. And it was only when he took his eyes off Jesus and he started to get worried by everything else that was going on that he began to sink. It was only then. But the moment he put his eyes back on Jesus, Jesus saved them again, and they went back to the boat because the adventure hadn't ended. It had only just begun. And somehow and somewhere, Peter thinks, I want to walk on water. Where does that come from? I believe it's just that childlike faith that God has put inside of all of us, that if we spend enough time with him, we start to ask and believe and think incredible things because the culture of heaven is greater than the culture of earth. And in the culture of heaven, it's all upside down. We can do incredible things on this planet. Jesus in verse 29 says, yeah, come, let's go. With one word, everything changed. As Jesus said, come to him. What are the questions that God is asking us? And then the third thing is this. Why did you doubt? Jesus asked the question. Peter comes. He starts to freak out. He sees the waves. He sees the wind, or he sees the evidence of the wind, and he starts to sink. He had put his faith in Jesus. He had walked on water. He was doing incredible things. And then suddenly in a split second later or whatever time it was later, he began to sink. And then Jesus steps out and he rescues him. But he says, why did you doubt? This is what it says in verse 30. But when he saw the wind, speaking of Peter, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand, took hold of him, saying to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. You know, for some of us, we probably wish that that part of the story wasn't there. The first part was amazing. Why couldn't it just have finished then? Why did that last bit have to happen? Maybe sometimes in our lives, we go out, we do incredible things for God, and we see God move, or we just have the best day, and we're thinking, God, this is the end. Let that be the finish to this week. Let this be the finish to today. Why do we have to have anything more? And then there's another part to the story, and we're like, oh, God, I wish that part wasn't there. I wish that part wasn't there. I wish Peter hadn't sunk. I wish it hadn't been the outcome that it turns out in these verses. I wish something different had taken place. But I don't want us to move on too quickly from what actually happened because there's so much good in it as well and so much good for us to learn from and so much that God wants us to take from this. Verse 31, O ye of little faith, why did you doubt? I don't think at this point that God came, that Jesus, as he's saving him, is coming with harsh words. I think he's coming with words of compassion. Remember, he's just rescued Peter. He's sinking. He's just rescued him. He said, oh, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? I think he's trying to say something to his heart. He's trying to speak with words of love. He's trying to speak with words of grace. He's trying to say to him, hey, why did you doubt? And what's he alluding back to? He's alluding back to, remember the day before. I fed 5,000 men, plus women and children, with just a few bits of fish and a few bits of bread. I did it with that. I'm the God of provision. I'm the God that can do anything. I'm the God that breaks the power of physics in this world and can bring heaven to earth. I'm the God that can do anything. Why did you doubt? Come on, I'm trying to show you something. I'm trying to teach you something, Peter. I'm trying to transform your life forever. Why did you doubt in these moments? And God's trying to show us today the same thing he's trying to show back then, is that I am a God who can do far more than you can imagine. If you could just keep trusting me, if you could just keep believing in me, life would never be the same. Faith, your faith would never be the same. Your faith would just continue to grow, because I am the God who's able to feed the 5,000. I am the God who's able to rescue the one from the waters. I am the one who goes after the lost sheep. I am the one who's able to find the lost coin. I am the one who's able to heal the beggar of blindness. I am the one who's able to heal the sick and raise the dead. I am the God who can do anything. I am who I said I am. I can do it because I am, I am. That's what it says right back in the beginning of Genesis and Exodus. I am. That's the God who I am. I can do anything. There's nothing too hard for me. And this morning God says there's an important lesson for us to learn, just like Peter learned that day, is that Jesus can rescue you no matter where you find yourself. Is that Jesus can find you, that Jesus can raise you up no matter where you find yourself. It's a question of faith, but it's not just a question of faith in anyone. It's a question of faith in Jesus. If we would plant our gaze on him, if we would root our faith in him, guess what he can do? He can make the water like concrete and we can walk on it. It was faith in Jesus that changed everything. It's faith in Jesus that saved us. It's faith in Jesus that's going to continue to transform us. It's faith in Jesus this week that we can go to our boss and find favor, because we place our faith in Jesus and suddenly we find favor in our workplace. It's faith in Jesus that causes us to have outrageous faith and believe for outrageous things. It's faith in Jesus that suddenly he makes crooked paths straight and brings the floods in the desert. Because he's able to do that. He's able to do things that we cannot do as we place our faith in him. And when they did, suddenly, oh my goodness, he was able to save, and the winds abated him, and the water ceased, and suddenly everything stopped because Jesus was with them. So why do you doubt? And here's the thing I really felt like the Holy Spirit just wanted to share in our hearts this morning, is that the first two happen all the time. We trust in God. We believe that God's able to do things. He calls us. He invites us onto the waters. We see miracles. We see signs and wonders. And then so many times we get to point number three of why did we doubt, and we just seem to keep cycling around and around and around. And doubts are perfectly normal. They're perfectly normal. They drive us to faith. They cause us to stop walking off the edge of cliffs. Some doubts are good. But the doubts in Jesus are no good. We don't need to have any doubts in him, because he's able to do so much more. And our life, if we're not careful, can just circle round and round in circles, from big wins to big lows, from believing God for anything to, like, I don't even know where God is. And there's times in our life where that happens. But what God says is that I want to make those times less and less and less. And even in those times, I want to reveal to you that I'm with you even in those moments, and that I haven't left you, and you don't have to have any doubts in me because I'm always there. But I believe that the Lord wants to charge our hearts today and charge our faith today and say this, that I want you to keep walking with me. I want you to keep walking with me in the highs and the lows. But when you get low, I'm still there. Don't doubt me. I am still there with you. It would be far worse for you if I wasn't there. Trust me. But I've protected you. I've kept you safe. And even when things happen that it looks like there's no way to get those things back, that I've lost there, I'll never get that back. Trust God that he's able to do something completely different that we never even thought. Job lost everything, and then God restored everything back to him, greater than before. Now, he didn't get his original kids back, but he got new kids back. But when he gets to heaven, he gets them all. He gets them all. Because God's got a full plan. He's got a complete plan, and we've got to let him work it through. But the devil wants to create doubts in our hearts that says, oh, well, I think God's failed me now. I think God won't bring me through in this. I don't think God could do this thing. Or better than that, he just wants to get us back living in the old ways. This is, I can only believe for this. I can't, I couldn't, I wouldn't, I shouldn't, all of that kind of stuff. Instead of, God's with me. What could I not do? I could walk on water. I'll ask him. He'll say, come. I'll ask him. He'll say, do this. He'll do that. And this morning, we've got to remind ourselves and we've got to charge our hearts that God has put faith inside of us to do incredible things. We cannot go back. We cannot go back the way we came. We got to keep moving forward. We got to keep going forward. We got to keep asking God for more. Jesus has done too much, and he has done too much for us to turn around. There was two different views to view the story, and we said at the beginning as we're getting ready to finish. And we can view the story as this, is that Jesus messed up and that he lost everything. Is that Jesus messed up, or that Peter messed up, sorry, and he sunk, and he didn't fulfill all the things that God had called him to do. Or we can see it as this, is that Jesus invited a normal person onto the water, and he walked with them. And that even when he sunk, Jesus was trying to show him something different. Jesus was trying to show him that he's with him and that life is, even though it comes against us, he's bigger than life itself. And God's trying to show us this morning that there is a different culture that we can choose to live in. That there is a different culture that we can be a part of. And if we can see this, we'll never be the same again. And so where do we choose to live this morning as we're getting ready to finish? Where do we choose to live? Because the culture that we live in will determine the direction that we go, the things that we believe, and the things that we say. If we live close to God, kingdom culture, then suddenly there is nothing that's too hard for us. There's nothing that we can't believe for. There's nothing that we won't see happen in our lives. Whenever we feel tired, we'll just say, but the joy of the Lord's my strength. Whenever we feel down, we'll just say, but God's got a plan. I'm going to keep going. Whenever the odds look like they're against us, we'll just say, doesn't matter. I know God's bigger than me. I know God's got something else going on. God, give me greater perspective. Whenever we're in heaven's culture, we start to believe for heavenly things. Whenever we're in a kingdom culture, we start to ask the king to live through our lives. Whenever we keep living in our old ways, whenever we keep living in our old identity, whenever we keep bringing up the old things and try to live in the old ways, we just keep repeating the same mistakes over and over and over again. And God says this morning, I want you to realize that you were made to do things like I Heart Armagh all of the time. That you were made to go on missions all of the time. Maybe it can't be Latvia all the time, but it can be our workplace. We were made to go and share our faith every day. It's the best way to live. We were made to live needing Jesus every single day, not our bank balance. That's what we were made for. We were made to need Jesus every day, not the creature comforts of our lives. And just like in the story, there's two things to see. We either see Peter sinking or Jesus winning. And just like in our lives, there's two ways to finish. We either live in comfort, and it's just all the way that we want it, and we just do all the things that we like, or we step out, and we step in the water, and we live in risk, but we live in faith. And we follow after Jesus. And whether we sink or not, Jesus lifts us up. Whether we're on the boat or not, he calms the storm. Whether we make mistakes and we say the wrong thing, Jesus will recover me. He will heal me. He will help me. But that life of adventure walking with him, there's just nothing quite like it. And this morning, each one of us know where we are. Each one of us know the hearts that we carry, the lives that we live. Each one of us know the places that we go to. But it's the small things that will define our lives. It's the small things. And what are the small things in your life that, even though they look small, even though they look insignificant, they're actually causing us to go back into old thoughts, into old ways? And what are the small changes that God wants to make through his help that will cause you to fully step into that new identity that you have, that culture that you have, that culture of impossible, that culture of I can do all things through Christ, that culture that says I'm here for everybody else? Like, when was the last time that we came to our prayer time, especially on a Wednesday night, and thought, I'm going for somebody else, not me? When was the last time we did that? Because usually our first response is this: I'm not going to go tonight because I'm not feeling it. I'm not going to go tonight because I mightn't get anything out of it. Or when was the last time we went to church instead of just for us, but we went for somebody else? I'm going to go because I know there's somebody going to be there this morning. I want to make sure that they're there, and I want to just sit beside them. See, there's just something different. There's just that small, subtle changes, but it makes all the difference in our lives. And there's times, of course, we come for ourselves, and there's times, of course, we need to go for ourselves, but too often, it's all of the time. And God says this morning, when was the last time we decided to go on a mission trip, and we know that it cost us money, but we went for the kids out there? Or we went because of the change it was going to bring when we got there? Or maybe we went for our family. I love the story of Brian, the Wolf family, who came. Brian and Cassandra, they were our American friends. And they came just the other week, and they said it was very hard for them to come. It cost them thousands to come, bring all their kids there. But they came with one purpose. And it seemed like almost you could say it was a selfish purpose, but God knew their hearts in it. They said, we came here for our family. We came here because we wanted to be a blessing to everybody here, but ultimately we came for our family because we needed to see change in our family. We need to see our kids' hearts changed. We need to see our kids just grab a hold of this faith thing and actually believe what the Bible says and actually believe what the book of Acts says, that God, that we can just live on the edge of our seats, that we can believe God for everything, that our faith is exciting and our faith comes alive when we follow after Jesus. And you know what? By the end of that week, God completely blew them away. Absolutely completely blew them away. And even better than that, on the first or second day, we had a prayer time, and he was already blowing them away. They were ready to go home after the first, second day because already God had done the work that they needed them to do. And then the rest of the week, they were just living for Jesus in every form and in every way. When was the last time that we had thoughts of, I'm just going to do this, not for myself, but for somebody else? It was the last time we went to prayer, and it was all about other people instead of ourselves. God's saying, I want you to step out of that me reality and that me culture and get into that kingdom culture that's about no greater love than this, than to lay down your lives for your friends. Sacrifice, commitment. How do we become friends with each other? You've got to spend time with each other. How do we become true friends? We've got to love each other. We've got to love each other. The best thing that we have is our time. The best thing that we can give away is our love. And we do that through his strength. So church, this morning, we're asking God to step us out of one culture into another, from this to that, so that we think differently, act differently, our ideas change, the way that we talk change. Here's the thing. If we're still saying the same things that we did last year as today, something needs to change. Something needs to change. I don't want to repeat the same stories from 30 years ago. I want to make sure my stories are 5 minutes ago. I don't want to be spending my whole life saying I'm still dealing with this attitude or still dealing with that one. Stay close to Jesus and watch how he'll soon hammer those things away. Literally. He's got a way of getting those out of us as we lay our lives down to each other. You got a patience problem? You need to join the kids team. They're going to teach you patience really quickly. That's what you got to do. It's what Jesus would do. If he had an issue, he sent the guys that way. What do you do with Peter? He says, Peter's got a problem of opening his mouth too much. He's going to have to come close to me. He didn't put him away. He didn't get rid of him. He brought him closer because he says, Peter's got a problem. He's just always doing the wrong things. He's always saying the wrong things. Who knows how to do the right things? I do. Bring him close. He brought him closer. And that's what we need to learn to do. We need to put ourselves in the right positions that change is going to happen. Otherwise, we'll end up the same. We went to a conference years ago. It said this, and then we're going to finish with a song. Lift your offering. 70% of the thoughts that we have today are the same ones that we had yesterday, which means it's really hard to change your thoughts. It's really, really hard. The best way to change your thoughts is to change your environment. Change your environment. If you're like Gordon, the farmer, and you're farming all the time, then you need to change your environment and get into RMA for a week. It'll change your life. That's what happened. That's what happened. If you're a programmer like me sitting at the computer every day, I need to get away from that. I need to get out on the streets. I don't want to be there because it's uncomfortable. People might say things. I might get offended. I might get hurt. It's fine. God is with me. He is for me. It changes me. I come back after that 1 week there completely changed like never before. You want to get changed, go and do something different. You want to get changed, go spend time with the Lord. You want to never be the same again, start getting closer and closer and closer to the things of God and watch what he does. But we've got to present ourselves as a living sacrifice, the word says, and then we'll never be the same. Come on, let's stand together.